Ravi did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber as you listen. This is their story. In Leeds Northeast, NHS wards run short-staffed while nursing training places sit capped by Treasury budget limits, as though the government that issues the pound could run out of pounds to train the people already queuing to fill the roles. Ravi wanted to become a nurse like his mother, but found himself caught between need and ideology.
I used to think the system made sense, even when it frustrated me. My mother spent 15 years as a healthcare assistant at Leeds General Infirmary, coming home exhausted every shift because there were never enough qualified nurses on the ward. She would tell me about patients waiting hours for basic care, not because the staff didn't care, but because there simply weren't enough hands. I studied biomedical sciences at Leeds Beckett because I wanted to follow her path, but as a registered nurse this time. I wanted to be part of the solution. In 2019, I applied for adult nursing at the University of Leeds. My grades were excellent, my personal statement strong, and I was accepted immediately. Then came the conversation that changed everything. The admissions tutor explained there were only 180 funded places for over 400 applicants. Health Education England has capped our budget, she said. We have to turn away qualified students because we can't fund their training. It sounded reasonable at the time. Budgets have limits, don't they? I applied again in 2020. Same story, same numbers, same apologetic explanation. I started working as a healthcare assistant at Leeds Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust while I waited, thinking my turn would come. Every shift confirmed what my mother had told me. We were constantly short-staffed, running between patients, calling in agency nurses who cost the trust three times what a qualified staff nurse would earn. The irony wasn't lost on me. The NHS was spending enormous sums on temporary staff because it couldn't train enough permanent ones. In 2021, I was walking past Leeds Beckett's new nursing building when I noticed something odd. Through the windows, I could see the simulation labs, state-of-the-art training facilities that the government had funded as part of a capital investment program. But half the rooms were empty, and in the ones that were equipped, much of the training equipment was still in boxes, unused. I knew students who had been rejected from nursing programs that year, good people who wanted exactly what I wanted, to learn, to qualify, to work. I arranged to meet the admissions tutor I knew from my own application. We have the facilities, she told me, gesturing toward the empty labs. We have qualified lecturers sitting at home, desperate for work. We could train twice as many nurses tomorrow if we were allowed to. When I asked what was stopping them, she said the words I was starting to hear everywhere, there is no funding. But I was looking at a building the government had paid to construct. I could see equipment the government had paid to purchase. I knew lecturers the government could pay to teach, and students ready to learn. The ward where I worked was paying agency nurses £40 an hour for shifts that a qualified nurse would do for £15. What exactly was it that there was no money for? I got my training place in 2022, 3 years after I first applied, but only because someone else had dropped out. By then, I understood something I hadn't grasped at the start. The constraint was never the money. The government that issues the pound had chosen not to spend the pounds that would connect willing students to empty training places to understaffed wards. That choice was presented as an accounting problem, but it was actually a political decision. I qualified last year, and I work now on the same ward where my mother spent her career. We're still short-staffed. The trust is still paying premium rates for agency workers. The nursing schools still have capacity they can't use because Treasury won't fund the training places. Every shift, I see the cost of that political choice. Patients waiting longer, staff working harder, public money spent on expensive, temporary solutions instead of investing in permanent ones. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the facilities were available. They were, all of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice, wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says, we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the willingness to spend it into the places and the people who needed it. What happened to me is happening in every constituency where qualified people want to train for work that desperately needs doing, while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare. The cupboard belongs to the people who stock it.
What Ravi experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique relies on citing supposed authorities who treat the household budget analogy as unquestionable truth. Consider how tobacco companies once cited doctors who endorsed smoking, or how pharmaceutical companies quote studies that downplay side effects. The expertise sounds credible until you examine who is speaking and what they are not saying. In Ravi's case, the austerity objection came in a familiar form. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation. Which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say without naming them is an appeal to unnamed authority. The anonymous experts never had to explain why training more nurses would cause inflation when the training facilities sat empty and the qualified lecturers were unemployed. They never had to justify why paying agency nurses three times the standard rate somehow avoided inflationary pressure while funding permanent training places would create it. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources, people, skills, materials, time. In Leeds Northeast, those resources were sitting idle. The simulation labs existed, the lecturers existed, the students existed, the wards that needed them existed, the resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Leeds Northeast ranks 466 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, published by MHCLG. The constituency has 1,604 registered charities, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £34 million, according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.